Hey there, thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest podcast. If you love this podcast, please consider joining our Patreon. Your donation helps support our show, and in return, we give you 4 bonus episodes every month. If you can't support the show financially, then we urge you to harass your friends and share the show with them. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. It actually really helps us. Without further ado, on to the show. Welcome to the Mummy Dearest Podcast, a podcast where we used to talk about the mummy, but now we talk about other movies too.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Mummy Dearest Podcast, where we unwrap pop culture from the 90s, 2000s, and today, and sometimes the 70s. I'm
Sandy.
I'm.
And today we're unwrapping Grease.
Is it from the 70s?
Yes, that's why I was so dead set against it.
Wow. Okay, well, I have been fighting for Grease since the beginning of this podcast. And Zach said to me, my defenses are down. So if you want to suggest Grease, now is the time. And we were between this and Varsity Blues. And I couldn't bring myself.
No, here, like, if you want us to do Varsity Blues, like, if we get an influx of listen, Sloan needs one DM to text me and say everyone wants us to do something. So
no, that's not true. It has to be two DMs.
Okay, so if two people DM us and say we really wanted you to do Varsity Blues, we'll do it. It's just, and we were about to do it, but I got home from work late and I was like, Sloan, I literally have no defense. My guards are down, so whatever movie you want to do, I'm gonna agree with.
Which, like, I don't know if you guys know this, but Zach does not let me pick the movies. Usually when I pick them, they're tragic mistakes. I think that we
lately they've been fine, and I do let you pick them, but you have to pick them when I want you to pick them. You can't pick them like Sloan's like a very like work as you go type of person, and I need like a schedule a month in advance.
Fine making the schedule in advance, but then I need like the day of to be able to uproot the schedule and put in whatever I need.
Yeah, I am. If you disturb my vibe, like the vibe I assumed was coming, it literally throws me into a
tailspin. That's so Pisces of you.
It's like, and I'm a Virgo rising.
Oh my God. You're like my sister. If she thinks a plan is happening a certain way and it goes 1% off, she's like, well, I guess everything's ruined. I'm like,
I literally, and I know that it's not, but like, if like I have a plan for like months and someone's like, oh, this person's coming tonight, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, that's different. Adding another person to the mix is really fucked up.
I'm like, I guess nobody loves me. No one cares about me. No one cares about how I feel.
And you'll have a totally great time in the end, but you'll still be mad. You'll be like, well, could have been better.
Don't ever do it again. They'll be like, you had so much fun. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
When you're like hanging out with a friend and all of a sudden they're like, oh, this person's coming. I'm just like, excuse me? What do you mean this person's coming to this, to our two-person hangout?
Right now?
Now they're coming.
Are they bringing their own guacamole? Because they're not eating mine.
Because I'm actually on my way out. So I hope you guys have a fun time together.
That's fine. I'll go.
Mad.
That's fine.
Okay. I can see that this time wasn't sacred to you. So I'll just mosey on along.
That must be a water sign thing. Like the possessiveness of friendship.
I just need to know. I also want to know what the vibe is before I get there. And I can't just have you be like, oh, like we've invited a wild card. I'm like,
I would rather be the wild card. I would rather be like, if they were like, hey, so-and-so's coming over next week. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
I would probably be like, yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. Invite me as the wild card. Exactly.
Correct. If I'm the wild card, I'm totally fine with it. But if you invite a wild card, I will raise holy hell, burn a city down, slay mother goat. Like
Because you know what it is? It's like, you are now the special guest.
Oh, you're right. You're the addition.
You're the addition. Yeah. It's like they were already doing something and they're like, you know who'd be a great ad? This person. But when I'm one-on-one with you and you're like, I've invited this person, I'm like, I'm not good enough.
Not good enough.
So I'm not enough for you. Okay. I see.
All right. Anyway, so we're doing.
Whoa. Okay.
All right.
Since you've gotten a taste into our mental illness, you're about to get an entire meal into mental illness. Like, you're about to figure out why Sloan and I and every one of you probably listening and your parents and your children are the way they are, because the movie Grease is a stark look at deranged, awkward, cringy beauty.
It's such, I texted Zach last night, or I guess we called each other. It took us 3 hours to watch this movie, which I think is only 40 minutes long, actually.
It's an hour and 40 minutes, which is like, usually when Sloan and I pick a movie and it's under an hour and 45, we're like very happy.
Very happy. This took me forever to watch because
I was up until 1 a.m.
I was laughing. Oh, me too. I was so amped. I was laughing so hard and I kept calling Zach to discuss what was happening on screen. So it took so long to watch this movie, but I felt like it went by in a second.
I called Sloan first. And when she answered the phone, I was wheezing, laughing, like hysterically.
We couldn't speak.
And you guys, I'm not even joking. I was a minute into the movie. This movie is hysterical, and not because they want it to. Like, the things that they did to be funny are not funny. It's just, in general, is one of the funniest good time movies I've ever watched in my entire life. I've seen this movie, Sloan and I both have seen this movie ad nauseum a million times, unlimited. The limit does not exist.
I know I haven't seen this as an adult. This is my first adult watching. Same. And I told Zach, I'm like, I still know every line of this movie. I know every background character's line. I know every line.
The fact that I don't know anything in real life, but I was like, chang chang, changity chang, chubop, chang, like, I was like, I was like, shubop, shubada wada, yipity, boom, de boom. No, like, why did I was like not skipping a beat. I knew every single chang chippity bop de boop. Like,
it was really crazy. Dooby 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 scooby doo pop de bop. Chang chang. I was shocked. I was just like, okay, so I texted Zach and I was like, okay, here's my big three. I'm a Rizzo son. I'm a Rizzo son. I'm a Danny Moon, and I'm a Jan Rising.
You originally said Frenchie Rising.
I need to change it because I am definitely, I mean, I think I might actually be like a Jan son, Rizzo Moon.
That makes sense. That does make sense.
Because, like, I'm not all there. And
I do think
Jan.
You're Frenchie Rising, though. Like, I feel like when people see you outside, they think that you're like this hotsy-totsy, like, beauty girl.
Thank you so. Do you think people think I'm a beauty girl?
Not at like school drop off.
I might actually
let's
be a Rizzo
be real here.
Yeah, let's be very, very clear. I might be a Rizzo Rising.
I know. I can see that too because you're like a big slut.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I am. Okay, you know what I might be? I'm a Sunny Sun. I'm a Jan Moon and a Rizzo Rising.
What am I? I was trying to do it all night and I like couldn't figure it out.
You are a duty son.
I knew you were just going to be mean. I don't know why I asked.
You're definitely a Kinnicky Rising. That much I know.
Okay. I honestly think so.
I think you might be a crater face. I think you might be a crater face son. Honest.
Moon?
No, I think you're a crater face son.
You think I'm ugly?
No, I don't think you're ugly. I just think who you are is a crater face son. And I think you.
I'm just like a mean bully who like.
Yeah, but I
people's
yeah, and I think you're a Marty Moon. Okay, so you are I've got you. You're a crater face sun, you're a Marty Moon, and you are a Kinnicky Rising.
That feels I feel like crater face doesn't feel right, but if you're telling me that, then I'll trust it.
Yeah, because I think you're like kind of scary and mean, but also
okay,
like
no,
you
right.
Want to be perceived as like someone who's sensual, like Marty. And I think that through it all, you have like a tender heart like Kinnicky does.
That scene where they were gay for like 2 seconds is one of the best cinematic things. We'll get to it. All
okay.
Right.
Wow, 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 wow.
This movie was released June 16th, 1978. So it was like a 1970s summer blockbuster. The budget was $6 million.
That's a lot.
For the 70s. But do you know what else is a lot?
What?
$396 million as a worldwide gross.
Like in that year?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It's not specific. But
okay, so you didn't do your research, sounds like.
But if it weren't in that year, though, it would be more than that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, it's got to be. We've got to be at like $1 billion.
That's what I mean. So I don't think, I think 396 has to be the.
Okay.
I can't imagine that it's only that $400 million in 50 years.
Yeah, no. Has it really been 50 years?
You know what, though? Maybe it's theatrical. Usually it's box office. So maybe every time it's been released in a theater, that's what's counting toward it.
I want to go watch this at a drive-in theater.
45 years.
Okay, that's fair.
The director is Randall Kleiser. I don't know. Okay. He also directed The Blue Lagoon.
Wow.
Big Top Pee Wee.
Wow.
White Fang.
Whoa.
And Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. No, I mean like scholar, genius.
Has he won a Nobel Prize in film? Do they give those out?
They need to, because first of all, like
White Blue Fang.
Lagoon, no, Blue Lagoon, horniness, like sexual awakening, watching
horny
on
kids, TBS,
watching
horny
on kids. TBS when your parents were like making chili in the kitchen.
Oh my God, this guy literally is like, do you want to see older high school kids fuck?
Except in Blue Lagoon, they were like 15 in real life. So I don't know where he's going.
But and they were like brother and sister?
They were siblings who, and the actors were like underage.
We might need to get our eyes on Blue Lagoon. Now that we know this guy is the auteur that he is, we might need to.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid definitely needs a viewing.
I watched that like maybe 4 weeks ago with Rex.
You guys, I'll like say the weirdest movie and someone's like, I just watched that.
Well, we're like slowly making our way through like all of the 90s comedies. And
okay, can you just take notes on them while you're watching?
I have been. Why do you think I was like, Zach, we should do Free Willy? Because I started watching Free Willy.
Oh, okay. John Travolta, are you all right? Here come the ages.
No, I need to like, hold on. Let me buckle
it's
up.
It's not going
to
be as crazy. All right. Okay. John Travolta.
They're supposed to be 16.
Well,
Danny's 18. Years. Okay.
So like 17 or 18. Okay. John Travolta is 24.
That's fine. Okay.
Olivia Newton-John is 30.
Okay.
Stockard Channing was 34.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
I don't know which way are you going with that? Like,
I mean, she looked 47, but like the fact that she was 34 playing
34 years old.
That's literally, guys, like me going into high school right now. Like,
no, I'm not kidding. Like, Grossi. We're a few years off, but like that is
okay. Keep going. I can't. That's ridiculous.
Jeff Conway was 28.
Well, that's a rough 28.
But honestly, like looking at them, like smoking nonstop, like they probably were doing that in real life. So like
Jeff, there's no way Jeff Conway was only 28. I think he fudged his age. He was 42.
Michael Pucci was 32.
Is that Sunny? Oh yeah, baby.
That's a tough 32, though.
That was a old 32. A very old 17.
That's what I'm saying. Barry Pearl, who is
Duty
is 28.
Okay.
Didi Khan was 27.
That's Frenchie.
Jamie Donnelly, who I'm forgetting who that was. I think that's
the hot T-Bird that I thought was hot.
No, Jamie Donnelly, I think is oh my God, the dork, like the nerd girl.
Jamie Donnelly, the nerd girl. Oh, Jan?
No. Oh, maybe that is Jan. That is Jan.
Okay.
She was 31. Annette Charles, who's Cha-Cha, who is dead.
Oh, God, rest in peace.
Oh, 2011. Was 30.
I thought you, I don't know why my brain just scrambled and I thought you said 9/11, like she died in 9/11.
She died in the towers.
She didn't die in the towers. No. She actually died like down the street from the towers.
She was at a Starbucks.
Fell. She fell at a Starbucks. She slipped and she tripped her neck.
Could you imagine?
She $1 million babied herself on the counter at Starbucks.
Do you guys think that like if you just like tripped and hit your head and died, but on 9/11, do you think the family's like, they died on 9/11 and like they don't give any other context?
I think it's like when you die, if you died during COVID of like natural causes, everyone assumed you died of COVID.
I recently worked with a COVID widow, and it was like very, it was like a weird thing. It was like weird. Cause like in Downton Abbey, they constantly talk about like war widows. Cause it took place during World War One. Uh-huh. So for someone to be like, I'm a COVID widow, I was like,
you're like, is that a thing?
I was like, we live in this time. Anyway.
That's really, for all the people that died during COVID, I don't know anybody that died during COVID.
I don't personally know anyone who died of COVID.
Okay.
I had like friends who had family members that died of like old age or like illness.
I'm gonna put the X-Files soundtrack behind all of this.
That's a good idea. Okay, so let's get into the movie. I don't like the beginning, like the opening. For some reason, I think that that's what turns me off from ever watching this movie sometimes. Like if I have the opportunity.
I
don't like the music and I don't like the vibe it brings.
Are you talking about the love is a man?
No, I love that.
Okay, so you don't like the...
I got future energy light.
Sorry, Zach and I are trying to implement a thing where if we raise our finger, we're the one that gets to sing. So I was just reminding him that I was singing, and then he started singing over
me. Didn't ring her, but she didn't.
Well, because we weren't singing at the same time.
Here's what happens too when we are like, I feel like our voices are like slightly off.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sing, it feels like we're singing at the same time, but when it's the recording, it's not at the same time.
We're always singing at the same time, but the recording hates us and it makes us sound like one of us is really stupid.
If you could hear us singing together, you'd be like, this is a masterpiece.
It's Andrea Botticelli and it's Celine Dion together. Like it's us.
Yeah.
It's us. And for some reason, Zoom does not want us to be great. So explain yourself, Zoom. Explain yourself.
Coward. But anyway, I just like, I don't know why I like that. But then immediately off the bat, when that's over, we get like, they get to the school. And this is when I called Sloan because immediately off the bat, they are just screaming at each other.
Wait, before we get to that, we need to talk about the opening credits for just a second, because truly whoever animated those credits hated every single person in this film. Them. They hated them. But like, how much did I look like Rizzo's cartoon?
I mean, I
admit it.
Yeah, there's like something, but like, you don't look like Rizzo. I mean, the hair definitely looks like Rizzo.
My hair right now is very Rizzo coded.
It's like Rizzo after she takes that wig off.
Some people can be so touchy.
Her like voice and mannerisms in this film are truly something that will never be matched.
Her, I kept telling Zach that it also took me a long time to watch this film because I would pause a scene, rewind it to watch a different person. If you watch this movie and only watch Rizzo, it's like a masterclass.
Well, who were we talking about years ago or like in another episode who had like a bounce walk? Oh, Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's like the same.
The controlled bounce walk. It's the most beautiful walk. Elizabeth Hurley and Bedazzled and Rizzo is the same.
Wow. We need to do a side by side of them walking.
Oh my God. Okay. So anyway, when we get to the school is where things kick into overdrive and your senses are, it's like you're on the Polar Express. You're being whisked away to a magical location. Your senses are delighted.
You're like invisible, but inside of like a gorilla exhibit. Like there's something weird. It's like
my
jaw dropped at like how insane this school is.
It felt like I was sitting like on the flagpole watching everything happen around me. It was the most immersive experience.
That's what I feel like.
What was that? It like enveloped me. It enveloped me. No, it was,
they're just like so why are they so unruly? Like, I don't know if anybody over the age of like 45 listens to us, but well, no, you'd have to be like, if you were in high school in the 50s, you'd have to be like almost 80.
We probably have a few 80-year-old listeners that just can't get enough of us talking about our pussies. I just need to know,
like, was this how people act? We're led to believe that like the 50s were like this prim and proper like 50s housewife coded thing, but it's like
kids.
Was everyone psycho?
No, I think the kids were all like unruly teens with rock and roll. I think that struggle between the binding of society and
it was like the Elvis thing.
Free. Yeah, they wanted to keep that pelvis far from me.
Whoa. It's just like the minute this movie starts, they're like, hey, there's Danny. Hey, Danny.
Hey, man. Hey,
you see me
in the
ones over there?
Hey, what you doing? Hey, whoa. Hey, you got a little dick. Hey, your bum.
I told Zach, I'm like, this is behind the counter at Balducci's. This is how it would
this
be.
This is how it would be. When Sloan ever sent me a picture and didn't realize that the subtitle said muttering in Italian, I was like, that is like, that is.
Hey, hey, I'm walking. Hey, you got to eat God in 5 minutes. Get the fuck out of my way, putzy.
It was like literally like, hey, no one tells me what to do.
Hey, I'm smoking a cig in the quad. Ain't nobody going to tell me not to smoke a cig in the quad. I'm smoking a cig. Like, they were just allowed to smoke at school. I mean, one of the teachers helps them build a drag race car and then goes to the drag race.
We're going to get to Ms. Murdoch. We're going to get to Ms. Murdoch. But
I have a lot of questions.
This is going to be a 4-hour podcast. But the thing is, well, in my high school, kids smoked constantly. Like, not in the school.
Sometimes.
Well, I mean, sometimes that bathroom door would swing open. It would be like,
hey, I'm sitting in a phys ed. I'm smoking a ciggy. I ain't never seen basketball before. I don't know how to play.
There was my school was like U-shaped, kind of. Like, square U-shaped. So in the middle of it was the teacher's parking lot. But that's where all the kids, in the middle of classes, that's where all the kids would go out and smoke.
Our teacher parking lot was like 3 blocks over, and all the teachers had to park their shitty Celicas and walk. And then all of the rich Miami kids, not me, but like the other ones, had like BMWs and Porsches. Yeah. And like our teachers were just like driving the beginning beater Grease Lightning.
I know. I remember like a teacher we had who was so like tired and depressed. He looked so sick, and we could see his car from his classroom. And every now and then he would just like sneak out and like have a cigarette like in his car and like cry.
Valid. So valid.
I know. It was just so sad. But anyway, so like I'm thinking back, it was so normal for me to see like 15-year-olds just like having a butt outside. Like, thinking about it now, it's like seeing a child smoking is like insane.
Like, be like, what are you like working in the coal mines? Like, what is like,
did you have a rough day at work? Like, what are you doing?
Are you a chimney sweep? Like, why are you smoking?
Are you like a little are you wine drunk and you just need a cigarette? Like, what are you doing?
Honestly, now it's just like they're ripping their jewels. I see so many kids that are walking to high school in the morning and they're all just like surrounded by a cloud of like jewel rips.
And they're so offended by cigarettes. And it's like, do you know what you're doing? Like,
do you know how cool it looks to smoke a cig?
I literally, someone just tweeted, Gen Z like flipped out about Timothy Chalamet smoking a cigarette. And
him ashing on the peons.
On the peons below. Like, is how so good. Chalamet coated. I
know. That's like, so Chalamet coated. He's just ashing on someone's head.
No, and they're like, was that Timothy's ash? Like, I loved it.
It's
like,
probably on eBay right now. You probably bought it.
No, but Gen Z like flipped out about it. And this guy retweeted and he was like, do you know how cool smoking looks? And he was like, and you guys look like idiots vaping.
Smoking
like
looks
sucking
sick.
It's like you're like sucking. If you're gonna do one of them, just like smoke.
I feel so stupid when I'm like vaping my
you look stupid.
I know. And I have my like little weed pen and I'm just like, why don't I have a joint which looks sick and smells cool?
Because I understand like why you would have it like in the house. It's like it's a mommy's vape.
It is a mommy's vape, and it's so I can vape next to my child.
And like blow it in his face.
I just like, Paul will be like, do you know there's still like smoke in the air? And I'm like, what?
No, it's gross.
He's like, can you go outside? I'm like, I'm not going to go outside for 3 puffs of a vape. I'm going to stand in my kitchen.
No, when someone vapes around me, I want to stab them in the heart. But the thing is like,
it's not a huge cloud. Like, I'm not doing
like way huger than like a vape cloud.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing like dragon vape competitions like outside a e-cig store. Like, please. it's just a little puff of air. I'm not like surrounded by billowing clouds of like cumulonimbus like vape. It's not like that.
What is that? No, anyway.
I don't know.
I know why people vape in your situation. Like, if you just want to have like a you don't want to take the time to like smoke a blunt. Like, I understand like what, like,
I mean, I do, but like, I can't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're not 21 and you're not just like, let's just go sit around for 4 hours.
Oh my God. I wish. That is my life. Who am I kidding?
No, but like, if you had friends that live near you, you would still do those things.
I would smoke a blunt with a bunch of 37-year-old women. That'd be so crazy.
But do you think that I don't go to like people's houses where people are smoking like pot?
Yeah, but are we smoking blunts? I would die if I smoked a blunt, I think. I can't believe I used to smoke blunts.
No, but they're like sharing it.
Yeah, but like weed is too strong to smoke like a straight up blunt. And like, what am I driving to the gas station to get like a cigarillo? Like, I can't. Sorry,
everything's legal here. So you just buy it. Like, you like buy it normally here.
Oh, see where I live, you still have to go get like a grape flavored backwoods and like open up the guts and like buy weed from a drug dealer.
Oh, no. Here, everything's like legal. So you just go to the store and get it and bring it to a party. And then like.
Yeah, no, it's not like that. I would still have to be like rolling a joint on like
that's embarrassing on a tray.
Yeah, yeah, like that's not it. That's not the vibe.
No, for a 37-year-old, that is not the vibe. So
that looks bad.
I see where you just got like confused.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, if I showed up with like a pre-roll, that's cool. Yeah, you're like, that's sexy.
That's what I'm saying. I was just at a party where like this very like beefy gay man pulled out like some pre-rolls and it was like very sexy. Yeah, like,
that's perfect. No, I just can't be seen slicing open the guts of a backwoods cigarillo at 37.
Like, imagine you sitting like around a camp, like around a fire, and like you're just like you have like a textbook on your lap, and you're like,
I'm like, hey Rex, can I borrow your science book? Mommy needs to roll this. You're like, blunt.
Rex, can I borrow your practice butterfly knife?
Rex, can I borrow your Captain Underpants hard copy? Because I really got mommy's got to get fucking toked up right now.
Mommy needs her blunt.
Mommy needs her afternoon blunt.
It's so sad because there are people who do that.
I know, we're like making fun of them, and they're listening to us right now, probably smoking a blunt. I smoke every day, guys. I can't smoke a blunt anymore. Well, I could. No, if you invite me, invite me. I'll smoke one.
Saying, like, people do that like around their children, though. Anyway,
that's fucking crazy. Anyway, back to Greece.
I know we can't veer off.
No, we have too much.
Okay, so I just said, imagine like your friendship is just yelling at each other nonstop, but we like kind of covered that.
Yeah,
but, like,
wait, that is our friendship though.
But it's, I don't mean like in a mean way. They're just like, they're just screaming at each other. Like, it's like,
that's how we talk.
They're like, hey, how's your summer? Hey, what you doing at the beach, Zuko?
Hey, you get that girl's pussy wet, Zook? Oh, hey, you fuck that, you know, Australian? Or nah?
You know, rocking and rolling.
Whatnot. Why don't we say that anymore? Rocking and rolling and whatnot.
I don't want to. And then, like, what's up with, like, the Three Stooges core? Like,
oh, my God. Boink, boink.
Boink, boink. Ooh, ooh.
The Three Stooges seat at the driveway. Danny's like, come on, guys, be cool. I was like, cool. And they like practice that Three Stooges routine for Zuko.
Here's the thing, because there's two groups here. Like, Zuko and Kaneki are like the cool guys. And I think they fuck. And like, I think that they fucked in like middle school.
Yeah. And they explored
each other's
bodies.
That's what I'm saying. They explored each other's bodies like in middle school. And then they just like haven't talked about it. And then they kind of were like, there was like a small reignition at when the car got fixed. And it was like,
you can't tell me that they're not doing circle jerks. Like, you just can't. You can't convince me.
So then we've got those all of them numbskulls.
Well, the numbskulls are the ones that eat the limp biscuit after the circle jerk.
So that's the thing. It's like Kaneki and Zuko spend the summer away, kind of. Like, they're probably doing their own thing.
Brokeback Mountain style, are you saying?
That's what I'm saying. But then, like, the three idiots, like, they're all they have all summer. So they've been like, why don't we practice this Three Stooges bit? So when Zuko comes back, he's going to be like, wow, you guys, you really
what did they want?
Summer.
What did they want Zuko to do? Be like, wow, amazing job. Like, what was he supposed to say to that?
They practiced again all summer.
They practice, like, you guys, they practice for 2 months straight, and they like finally got it. And then like they got to the bonfire, and they were like, okay, guys, like, let's do it. This is it. Like, this is our chance. Like, Danny's just sitting at the car.
Six, five, six, seven, eight. No, and they did it at the beginning of the school, like at the beginning of the movie too. Sonny's like, yup, yup, yup.
the amount of like yip yips,
like whooping, like
amount of, like, zip zip noises. It was like the hyenas from The Lion King. I was like, this is like very like Macbeth. Like, this is feeling Shakespearean to me.
I can see where you're getting that. Yeah,
for it sure. Just felt like a very like a tale as old as time, and it's
we're
like
1 minute into the film.
We're literally a minute 30 seconds, but like. Does every okay? What if you are the friend that is the yip yipper? That's so horrible.
I know that I'm not.
If you're a yip yipper, I know you're not listening to this podcast. You are the main event of your friendship group because you're cool and have good taste.
Well, you're long lasting.
You're long lasting. You're an everlasting gobstopper, and there's no way you're doing like yip yip.
And you're also like necessary. I think a yipper friend is necessary in a friendship. They are needed. They are wanted. They're who you take with you to events that you can't get anyone else to go with you. Like,
you need the bodies.
You need them. Yeah, like they are needed.
They're a body.
To have a yipper friend.
But like, you don't want to be with them alone or spend any kind of real time with them. Like, imagine sitting down with Sunny and he's crying because his dad just died.
Imagine Kinnicky and Sunny like sharing a tender moment.
Imagine them sharing an Eskimo pie. We'll get to that.
Okay so then Rizzo gets out of the school with her pink ladies. The pink ladies are in pink, they're bright. Rizzo's in the middle in all black.
Ugh. When
she's
I
huge sunglasses on.
When I saw Rizzo walk onto the screen, it was like a light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, oh, there I am. That's what I've been doing my whole life.
Her getting out of the car, the way, like, that is how I get out of the car, though, like, to go to work when I'm, like, miserable. And I'm like, oh, I hope I... And she's like...
Well, the collar.
She, like, pops the collar. She drapes the coat over her shoulders. And she's like, I guess we've got to just fucking get this over with. And we're going to fucking slay.
And that walk with the sunglasses, like when I was walking into high school, you couldn't tell me nothing.
No, I know.
You couldn't tell me anything because I was like listening probably to music in my ears, but also because I was just like, I know who I am and I know what I'm doing. And I've got hot, high tits, a tight ass, a rocking 17-year-old body, and I'm 36 years old. Like, that's how I felt walking in.
Why did the nurse look like a World War I auxiliary nurse?
Literally took the same note. Like, why is she wearing nurse cosplay?
Why, like, my nurse wore like Chico's. Like,
my nurse dressed like like a normal person. She didn't dress like Nurse Jessup from the Britannic. Like,
that's
was very weird. Well,
no, that's what, sorry. I'm saying. Like, she looked like a steamship nurse in 1911. Like,
it made no sense.
I was like, what is she doing?
She literally had on like a little paper hat and a cape. Like, why would a nurse need a cape is number one question. Why would nurses' outfits be white also? Number two question.
I think it had some, and listen, if anyone knows that I'm wrong here, please let me know. I do think it had something to do with angels.
Oh.
Yeah, like in the beginning. With like, what's her name? Gloria Swanson. No, what was that nurse's name?
Florence Nightingale.
Yes. I think it had something to do with that.
Imagine, like, you're the most famous nurse ever.
And she took to her bed, like, at 34 or something like that.
And never got up again.
Yeah.
Queen, icon, legend. So there are a lot of parts in this movie that I didn't get until this watch, like, this rewatch. A, because I had the captions on. When Danny and Sandy start singing their first song, Summer Lovin', I always thought that Sandy sang, "He ran by me, got me so damp." And I was like, that is a scandalous line. Once I got a little older, I was like, but she sings, oh, "He ran by me, got my suit damp."
I knew that. Yeah, that part I knew.
I thought he got her so damp, like he got her pussy wet.
Her pussy wet.
I was like, oh my God, Sandy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, Sandy.
Not you being horny.
He ran by me, got me so damp.
It's so funny to see how macho they like insist on being. And then the next thing you know, they're like, scoot-a-bop-bop, scoot-a-bop-bop, scoot-a-bop-bop.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Like,
doing a choreographed bleachers dance is like the least tough thing you could ever do.
I just need to know. Okay, this is what I was like confused about society in the 70s, 50s, 60s. It's all the same to me. Like, I'm confused about the machoism that I feel like just kind of ended like a couple years ago, and how you were able to also be like a smooth, like singer, dancer, actor, and still be like wanted by women, but also like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think it was like a Renaissance man thing, like a Gene Kelly or a Frank Sinatra, where you could like
right.
you could dance, you could sing, but like you drove
also fuck shit.
You fuck a lot of women, and it's like then you're gonna just like, I don't know, do a thing around a lamppost. And
that's what I mean. It's like, because nowadays if you started to do these dances, like I was watching the men, like at the very end there's like a group of men that are not characters in the movie, and they're like really fucking putting their like greasosies into this.
Oh, the background, you know, dancers talking?
But that part where they start dancing like what, like penguins, and they, it's like, well, that guy who, like that guy that looks like Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
oh my god, he literally is dancing like if a wacky tube band came to life.
I just need to know, like, I'm watching these men dance, all of these men, like even like Putzy and all the guys, like they're doing like very sharp, sharp move. And it's like, but you're also like a T-Bird who's like, hey, 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 fucking.
Hey. Hey, hey, be cool. But also learn this choreographed dance.
And I know that that's like the part of the movie, but I just mean like in real life, was it not gay?
It wasn't gay. I was asking my mom about this. And I asked all my aunts who are a little bit older than me. And I said, like, was this movie cool? And they were all like, it was the coolest. And then I asked my mom and she was like, John Travolta was it. Like, he was the hottest thing. I mean, every single movie he was in, he was dancing and he was singing and he was very.
Now we know hetero. Now we know that it means you're gay, but it's just like.
It is weird how, well, I guess it's like Tom Holland is the only like modern person I can think of who like has all of that kind of riz, you know?
I like, think you're right. Or like even like Zac Efron, who I think has stifled it, like who, or like Hugh Jackman. I think I have a note that says, could this happen these days? But I think the answer is no. And I think it's because we may be like this like Renaissance like generation where we think it's okay to do everything and you're not gay or straight or whatever. But like in reality, like you get stifled, like you get pushed down when you do act like that. It's like Tom Holland, like probably should be in a music, in a modern musical with dance numbers. He probably would
be like,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, you could probably have like Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron and Tom Holland like do this and they would probably slay the house down Mother Goat.
So that's but actually like, The Greatest Showman is what you've just described.
I hate that movie so much.
If they could make The Greatest Showman like actually great, that would be something.
You just actually really opened up my eyes, because when I said, could this happen today? I know now the answer is truly no. I know that it could happen and they can make it and there will be people who love it, but those people will not be my friends.
It's like Moulin Rouge. It's like, can we achieve it?
Wow, you're right.
But
Chicago.
And it's like Richard Gere could do that. And like, he didn't eat. But I don't think he ate like, in Chicago, but it was like, okay.
I know. Like, I'm looking, I feel like we do need some sort of like, I feel like someone needs to work on a high quality, fresh, original screenplay, new music. But I'm not talking like,
Lin-Manuel?
No.
He
literally, as we were saying this, he was
he
like,
he just perked up. He like felt a tingle. He was like, someone.
But a horse's ears, like, does.
No,
like,
literally. He just heard. He was like, somewhere in the universe, someone has asked me for an original music musical.
That's what I'm saying.
Lin, not from you, baby.
Not from you. I don't need like, I don't need a rap pop song.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say there's an A24 musical coming out.
There is?
Mm-hmm. With Megan the Stallion, and Megan Mullally, and Nathan Lane.
Okay. All right, well, I will...
We'll be watching. It's called, like, Dicktown or something.
Oh, I think it looks stupid, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to watch it, like, 1,000%.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I get what you're like, saying. We don't.
I would love like a Rodgers
this.
And Hammerstein's type musical. Like, can we get something
we can't,
new like that?
No, we can't get this. We can't get this anymore. We can't. They tried with Greatest Showman, I think, and like we just can't.
It didn't succeed. It's just like not.
It wasn't the vibe. It's not the vibe.
No, it's not for me anyway. All right. Anyway, okay, so nobody's jugs are bigger than Annette's.
What would you do if...
Who's Annette? She's mentioned three times in this film.
I don't know. I don't know who Annette is. Is she maybe like a popular actress at the time?
Annette Funicello?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it is her.
I don't know. I got full body goosebumps at the end of Summer Nights, by the way, like full body chills.
Well, I didn't because I couldn't hear it because I was singing too loud.
Paul did ask me to stop singing at one point. He was like, it's 10:48 at night.
You don't think I was 1 foot on a couch cushion, 1 foot on the arm of the couch going, no.
It's not picking it up. It's not picking
good.
It up.
Good. You're welcome.
I'll insert it. Now.
It didn't pick that up either, and you were doing it quietly.
I was doing it quietly. Our microphone is literally like, shut it down.
Shut the fuck. No, they're like, we're not letting you do any.
Our mics are so shady.
This is three movies in a row of music.
Imagine Christina Aguilera singing Summer Nights. Oh, God, I die. Like a pain.
Tell me more. We've done Burlesque. We've done Garden State, and then we did She's All That with Hannah Brown, but like there was that huge musical scene, which I feel like we didn't give enough justice.
We didn't. We didn't even like land on it.
It was too late, and we took too long to get there, and it was like we were tired.
Yeah, we were spent. Last night, Zach and I were trying to think. I was telling him, wait till you see at the bonfire rally thing when the scorpions pull up. I was like, wait till you see them, what they're wearing. And then we were trying to decide what the name of the band that sings YMCA was called. We arrived at Village Men, and then we were like, that's not right.
Were you very high, or were you normally like normal high?
I was very high.
Okay, I wasn't high at all.
I was dying laughing.
I just mean, like, this movie, like, turned me high.
Imagine watching this movie high. I think it was making me sad because I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm an adult. I'm high. Like, I'm watching this. Like, it felt weird to, like, watch it high.
Have you watched one of our movies sober recently, ever? Okay.
No, I don't think so.
I'll talk to her after the podcast, you guys. okay, so back at the bonfire... We settled on Village Men. I said no, son, it's Village Boys.
Yeah, we couldn't get there, but we finally realized it was Village People. I wrote down Sandy's cartwheel. What a fucking loser.
Like, honestly, you're 17, you're doing a cartwheel in a poodle skirt.
And you fall?
No.
You're new to school and you're a cheerleader and you fall?
If you're new to school, like, you stay under the fucking radar. You
don't come from Australia and join the cheerleading squad now.
Well, I guess Norway. When Rizzo. Okay, so there's a part where Rizzo. Okay, the scene where Sandy's done doing the cheerleading thing. And she's like, come on, Sandy, we got a surprise for you. Mm-hmm. And they drag her over to Danny. And
honestly, Danny?
And it feels like a 15-minute walk from where they are. Like, it's like anticipatory. We're like waiting for it. And then she gets there and they see each other. And Danny, we all know, I don't need to explain this, but like, you all know that like Danny's a dick to her. Although he literally goes, she's like, Danny. And he's like, Sandy. And she Danny? Just goes, Sandy? And he goes, he's like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, what's wrong with you? Who are you? Changed. I've never seen you like that. It's like, he said one word. And she was like,
I don't understand.
No, that's like a red. He literally was like, "Oh wait, that was the rest of your summer."
Hey,
and
yeah.
She's like,
"How's your pussy?"
Like, oh my god, what? It's like
drama queen.
Calm down, may she rest in peace. It's just like,
oh my god, R.I.P.
I forgot she had died until the very end of the movie.
No, that makes me really sad.
So then Rizzo, this is the whole reason of bringing this up. Sandy storms off, and Rizzo stands there for an extra 10 seconds and looks at Danny with the most scathing, manipulative, Machiavellian look in her eye. She's like half smiling, half disappointed. It's like she's so disgusted with him and so happy that he just
so
did that.
Pleased.
Yes, she's so disgusted with him and so pleased that it happened. It is the most nuanced acting I have ever seen.
There were so many parts in the movie where I'm like, I can't understand Rizzo's intention.
No, me too, Sloan, but that's what I'm saying. But her Rizzo is a mom head shake after a bottle of rosé. She literally is like,
it's like the mean eyes, and she's going to be mad at you, but she doesn't know why or like what happened even.
And if you say like, mom, your shoe's untied, she's like, why are you always making fun of me? Like, leave me alone.
Oh my God. Like, the why are you always making fun of me from your mom is like so crazy. It's like, I'm not making fun of you. When they snap and they're just like, why are you so cruel to me? I'm like,
why are you always so mean to me?
You're so judgmental. Like, your shoe is like literally untied. I don't know what else to tell you. That's Rizzo.
There's something about boomers that were like, they must not have like made fun of each other as teens and 20s.
But look
and
30s at, or but something. Look at these people. All they do is make fun of each other. Are you making fun of me, Riz?
You're making fun of me, Riz.
Some people can be so touchy.
All right, they did make fun of each other though.
So right after Danny breaks her heart, Frenchie's like, "How about we have a girls' night? How about a sleepover party?
A sleepover at my house."
That
sleepover scene. I just wrote the sleepover as a note. Like,
oh God,
it's too. I don't know what it is, but it's very dark. It's very. I, as somebody who like has never drank alcohol, drank.
Mm-hmm.
I never partook in alcoholism. I went to many events as a teen where people, as a teen and into my 30s, I'm not even joking you, I think the last time that I felt incredibly peer pressured, I was like 32 years old.
And did you drink the wine, sweet imported wine?
So like, people do get very uncomfortable when you're the only person not drinking. They think you're going to videotape them and leak it to Radar Online. So it's just like that. I think maybe I felt a little triggered that people were like, you're have some wine.
So you are Sandra D.
And I not to that extent, I was like a very fun time boy. Like, I was like a filthy fun time dancing, singing party boy, a cake boy, if you will. And but I just didn't drink. And it was like, that was the one thing that I didn't do with everybody that like freaked everyone out. And less in high school than in my 20s. In my 20s, it was like people were really fucking weird about it.
I mean, look at Zach. He is so whack. That's how I feel about you.
Yeah, that's fine.
I used to drink, but I don't anymore. So I am part of the temperance union now. But like then I partied.
It's like I was always like a fun time kid. I just didn't drink.
So you were a loser and a nerd and an idiot.
No.
Okay. Whose outfit? As
I
said
in our previous episode, I was nominated prom king. I was well loved. I was.
Yeah, but you lost.
Vice president of the student council.
Yeah, but you lost.
I did lose. And I also spread a rumor. Well, I actually didn't spread this rumor, but there was the rumor that I spread a rumor that the prom queen was pregnant and she like confronted me at prom.
And?
I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
But you did.
I really didn't. Like, I don't know. And then I ended up with sand in my gas tank.
Invite her on the pod. Let's hash it out.
I'm not kidding. I really will. That would be like so. If we each invited like a nemesis from our past onto
like
the pod.
Like a person we've wronged. Like my landlord who evicted me. Anyway. Okay. So at the slumber party, which outfit would you want to wear the most? And why is it Marty Maraschino's outfit?
Well, Sloan, you know that it's Sandy's for me.
Oh my God. It would be
a floor length flannel nightgown. You know, it's
a floor length buttoned up nightgown with like a little like frilly collar with like your perfect hair.
You had to ask? Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it would be Jan. That's so mean.
That's what I would wear.
That's what you
it's
would wear.
It's just not what I would want to wear.
Brush them.
I think you and I are always going to come back to Jan. I think you and I want to be different things, but we're always going to be, yeah, like we're ultimately Jan.
We're pretending ultimately.
We think we're so funny, like reciting a toothbrush commercial. We bring Twinkies to parties. Like, that's just like who we are.
Is Jan a manic pixie like, dream girl?
Confrontational. She's like really confrontational. How about when like she, like, like Sandy's like, no, thank you. I don't want any wine. She's like, why? You think you're better than us? And it's like, calm
like,
down.
Whoa, Jan.
I know. It's like,
Jesus,
she's like, fine.
Christ.
She's like, fine. I'll take a sip, you freak. Like,
what? And it was just like some like sweet dessert wine. Like, ew, it was so they're drinking like Madeira or sherry. No,
did you not have that phase in high school where like everyone was drinking shitty, like sugary wine?
No, we were all drinking like cheap wine, but it was like it was like Yellowtail Shiraz. Oh God. If I had a sip of Yellowtail Shiraz today, I would like immediately start vomiting everywhere.
You probably have at any wedding you've ever been to. Like at
no,
any
wine. I literally would be able to detect
that's
it.
Like and a my banquet wine. That's like when you if it's like if Rex like has like a baseball banquet, like that's the wine they're gonna serve you.
I think it would honestly instantly make me throw up. Like it would trigger something so deep seated inside of me. My body would reject it almost immediately. I would take a sip and I would like, it would be like Ipecac, like for sure. It would just start coming out of every hole. Oh, that makes me feel so sick. I can't even talk about Yellowtail Shiraz. That's a big trigger for me.
I did love a sick part of me, like loved taking care of like the people who got too drunk at the end of the night.
You literally, like, if you have, like, you have Munchausen by proxy, like, you no, are no, so it's sick in the head.
No, like, I loved when someone needed like, my help at, the, like, at a party.
You're like Annie Wilkes from Misery. You, like, hobble people.
I get why she did that.
No, I do. I just actually read Misery, and I do understand, like, her point of view.
Are you kidding me? Like, if my favorite celebrity came into my house and they were like, okay, it's time to go. And I was like, whoa, no, you don't. Like,
Pedro Pascal, you guys haven't seen him because he's still chained up to a radiator in
my
basement.
That's what I'm saying. And I'd be like, no, I love you. That's why I'm doing this.
I like, love you, Pedro. It? That's why I'm keeping you alive with little sucks on a dish sponge that I wet lightly, keeping you barely alive. He weighs 114 pounds now. He's so cute. I love him. I'm coming soon, Pedro. Don't worry, baby.
I wanted to just land on the stationery box. And I wanted to like land on, do you think every woman had a stationery box? Do you think every woman brought it to a sleepover? Something I loved about this.
I know I did.
Something I loved about this sleepover was that they were all kind of like in a corner, like doing their own thing in like corners of the room. Like some of them were like reading a magazine, braiding hair, doing their
writing to their boyfriend.
Their correspondence. Like, it's like, and then
doing their filing like, their taxes.
Right. And like, Rizzo was like, fuck this shit. I'm going to go get fucked.
Rizzo was like, fuck this shit. I'm going to perform a number and then I'm going to go get banged out. No,
that scene where she she crawls out the window and then she's talking to the men like in the driveway. That scene is like very nuanced and like very niche. There's something about the energy of that scene, the magnetic energy,
the way that Danny like blows her off and she's like always trying to get Danny's attention, but like she settles.
Did they fuck?
I think they have a history. I think they had like a will they won't they.
What a beautiful like undertone though for the director to like do.
Yeah, I think that she like always liked him because she was the leader of the Pink Ladies and he was the leader of the T-Birds, but also like Kanicki was. So I feel like
there
was a dual leadership. And I think Rizzo was like whoever was in charge that moment. That's who Rizzo was like angling towards. So I think that's where we.
And the way she looks at him like a 56-year-old scorned woman. And she's
oh
like,
my God,
she's like, how you doing, Zook?
How you doing, Zook? There's so much there. So much is
said.
Where you
going to flog your log?
I can't believe you didn't know what flog your log meant. You couldn't just context clues
that? I thought he was
going
to pee. I think I asked my mom a long, long, long time ago and she said he's going to pee. I think like that's what happened. And I think I just like entered that into my brain as data and like
You didn't process it. I can't believe it's actually from Greece. Like they made that up.
Oh, they made that up?
Well, didn't it say in the Urban Dictionary that you sent me?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah, you're right. It did say that. I didn't like all I saw was like jerk off.
I think it said like originally from the movie Grease. Or
and
maybe
he goes, it's better than hanging out with you.
That is a brutal scene.
To be honest with you, though, like jerking off is better than hanging out with a lot of people. Like
That's true. I don't know. Sometimes it makes sometimes it makes me feel really weird.
It's your shame.
Okay. That's my shame. Yeah.
I've talked a lot about shame with like therapist Mike, and he has completely reworked all of masturbation.
Can you tell me about this?
Sure. All right. Settle down, everybody.
Okay.
Masturbation is a form of self-love and like self-care. And you wouldn't feel guilty if you spent 2 hours watching a movie, but you would feel guilty if you spent 2 hours masturbating. When in fact, masturbating is much more healthy and much more productive for your day and puts you in a better mood. It releases endorphins. It makes you feel more sexually connected to yourself and your partner.
Why do we need to masturbate?
It's a really like natural thing to do. And like, it's like men will be like, I got a girlfriend, I'm not jerking off. But it's like, it has nothing to do with like your relationship. It's just literally like, it's like if you thought to yourself, oh my God, I can't wait to go home and like eat chips and guac. Mm-hmm. Like that's your self-care. Like that's making you happy. Like, or you could go home and masturbate. It's fine. Like what, it's like no different. It's just like shameful and ugly. Mm-hmm. Because as kids, we literally spend 30 years locking a door and hurrying up and like not telling anyone about it and like not wanting anyone to know, like listening for cars pulling up or like people coming up the stairs. Like it's, yeah. And it was like so normal. But if you did that every single time you masturbated, like that is so like ingrained in us that it's shameful.
Wow. Wow. Interesting.
So if you just literally think of it as like self-care and like it's like normal.
It's like lighting a candle and drawing a bubble bath.
You wouldn't feel guilty about that. But like if you like masturbated for an hour and you were like, oh God, I should have done laundry. I should have done like, that's disgusting.
So when I bust out my fucking machine later, it's about when 5 feet wide. Hands and knees. Yeah. And I suspend and myself from my nipples. And I just ask, I put my
You do that though, guys? Like that's what I'm talking about. I would say keep it away from children and that's it.
That's all you have to do. It's just keep it away from kids and you're good to go. Okay. Thank you for that.
That's been jerk talk with Zach.
That's been flog your log talk. Imagine you invite this strange Australian girl over to your house and you look into your window in the backyard.
I don't have to imagine.
And she's just out there singing.
That's not even the weird part. The weird part is that she's sitting in a crusty lawn chair going like this in dirty mosquito kiddie pool water.
It's literally standing water, just mosquito larva.
We all know what a kiddie pool looks like at the end of the day. It is disgusting.
A kiddie pool is something you can use for maybe 15 minutes before it's like a toxic sludge.
It's just like for her to be sitting there in the middle of the night.
Oof. A nighttime kiddie pool is
mosquitoes.
That's where raccoons come to like fuck. Like please don't. Like that's a cat piss pond. Like don't get out of there. Like girl, you're in danger.
We were in high school, there were two Australian men in the house next door to one of my close friends, and we were obsessed with them.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like it was like foreign exchange student energy. Like.
I never had strange Australian men living next door to me.
They were exchange students staying in the house next door to my friend. And so we would just like, all we wanted to do was just like talk to them and listen to their accents. And we were probably so stupid. We were probably like, is it like cold at Christmas?
You're like, hey, I'm coming over. I'm going to throw some shrimp on the barbie. Sorry about that accent. When Marty Maraschino says that she's dating a Marine and then the girls go, I'm a Marine. My mom dated a Marine in high school, like when I was in high school. And I used to say that line to her like almost every single day. And she like never got it. But anytime she would mention Mark being a Marine, I would always say,
I never understood when she said the mic didn't catch any of that.
I'll insert it.
When she says that she got that her boyfriend sent it to her from Korea, I never, even though they say you're dating a Korean or something and she says no, I still always was like, well, he has to be Korean. Like I never like figured it was from the Korean War.
You're dating a Korean?
I know.
Such a funny line.
And I was just like, yeah, I mean, how else, why else would they be in Korea? Like, that's stupid.
Marty's, first of all, the fact that Marty has, like, a long list of lovers and they're sending her, like, little short robes, like, okay, work queen.
That's, like, and she has, the paper she uses is, like, the most beautiful tissue paper. It's light, like, tissue paper.
You write on a piece of paper, but then a tissue paper overlays it, is what the stationery is. Oh. That's how it works, so it doesn't smudge. I know. That's fancy. That's why she has that robe from Korea. She's a very fancy lady.
Spritzes it with her perfume.
I love when she, like, she's like, hold on, and spritzes it. It's that ASMR truly is exquisite.
If we could get a Marty stationary ASMR channel,
it's just Marty writing to her Korean boyfriends.
No, it's like, if it's no, like someone pay, like a TikTok, like it's like a Patreon thing where somebody pays.
I'm almost there. Keep talking.
It's like a thing where someone pays to write, like pays you to write.
Are you ready for this? Are you ready for me to become Marty Maraschino?
Yeah. You guys, she has slutty Blanche Devereaux fluffy high-heeled slippers. Why don't you wear those, like, all the time?
Because they're my sex shoes.
They're just for sex. I have the little peep toe. I wore these while I was getting ready for my wedding. They're cute.
Why don't you, Sloan, like, I dare you to have those on as long as you can today.
Okay, I'm going to make it about 2 minutes. My contractors are here. They're going to be like...
No, that's even better, Sloan.
They're going to be like, Marty Maraschino, is that you? Like, it's me, you guys.
Okay, so then we leave the sleepover and we get to the Grease lightning scene. Whoa, keep talking.
That scene still hits in a way that is, like, unbelievable.
It's the gayest shit I've ever seen in my life.
It's one of the gayest scenes. Like, it's gayer than anything in Brokeback Mountain, that's for sure.
I need to know. I know that John Travolta isn't gay.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to know.
Do ya?
Who? Mm-hmm. I know he says he isn't gay, but I need to know who he fucked on set.
I think he fucked Craterface. And I think he fucked Sonny.
Putzy, I think.
I think he fucked the coach.
And then we get this shared confusion moment where he unwraps a roll of Saran wrap.
Well, this car is automatic. It's systematic. It's hydromatic. Why, it's greased lightning.
And he rubs it on his dick and balls.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing else happens with it. Like,
I don't know why you would need Saran wrap if you're fixing up a car.
I mean, we wouldn't know what you need to fix up a car.
That's a great point.
Yeah, but we don't see what they do with it. It's like it just goes away. He pulls it out, fucks it, and then puts it back. Like, I don't know.
Since I was a child, that part of the movie has always, like, really, like, been a head scratcher, and I'm so happy that last night Zach and I both still were like, why does he rub it on his crotch and then just kind of toss it to
and
the side?
And we both spelled Saran wrap wrong.
How is both it spelled?
Of us in our, I don't know, but both of us in our note, well, yours said Sarah wrap. And then mine says Saran. However I spelled it, it corrected to, like, a Syrian, like, town.
Syrian wrap. It's actually Syrian wrap. What kind of Syrian wrap do you buy? Are you brand loyal?
I don't
loyal?
Buy that. I don't buy Saran wrap.
You don't?
What would I use it for?
I like how it never really works on anything except for, like, a big glass
it's
Pyrex
the most
bowl.
Frustrating. First of all, I can't imagine it's not the worst thing for the environment of all time.
It's sheets
of plastic.
It's like, imagine the factory, the people that work in the Saran wrap factory making.
They die
that.
Every day. They have to replace them the whole staff every day. Like
100% turnover rate daily.
It's like insane because Also, just like, what are my, I just have tinfoil and baggies, like Ziplocs.
Tinfoil to me is so useless. It's the most useless thing.
I use it constantly.
I do too, but I don't, but I don't like it. Like it doesn't, I still have to clean the pan. What am I wrapping?
Oh, I don't use it for that stuff.
You don't bake on it?
No, I use it like, so lately I've just been bringing a half sandwich with a quarter can of tuna on it to work.
So wrapped in tinfoil?
And I just wrap it in tinfoil because there's no, like, I'm not going to put like a teeny little half sandwich like in a Tupperware.
That's foul.
It doesn't, you don't wrap food in tinfoil ever?
I'm not like a coal miner's daughter. So no, I don't like wrap food in tinfoil and bring it in a pail to wax sit on a.
I've always wanted someone to send me to work with like a wax paper sandwich.
I would rather do that to you.
I would love that.
Maybe I would love that for you.
I love in movies when you see someone unwrapping something out of wax paper.
Things that are wrapped in wax paper, it's like, oh, thank you for wanting me to have the most incredible experience.
Beautiful day.
Like, thank you for making my life like a beautiful, picturesque movie. Like, I really appreciate this.
That's what I'm saying. I think if I were, like, wow. If I ever become filthy rich and have a child for whatever reason, they will be getting wax. Their sandwich will be stale when they get to, when they finally get to eat it, but it will be like, the teachers will appreciate it.
The teachers are going to look and be like, Zach's done it again.
Right. The kids will be like, what the fuck is that? And his sandwich will be very stale, but.
Very stale or very soggy.
Waxy.
Waxy. It doesn't make it taste good, actually, no, but it's
beautiful.
It looks so beautiful.
In a brown string?
Oh, when it's like a sandwich, that's like, if you go to like one of those fancy bakeries and they give you like a baguette that's wrapped in the wax paper with, and then it has like a little sticker, like a custom sticker and a little piece of twine. And you're like, okay, I guess I am like a rich French woman.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. That's like
Swan's ultimate dream. And
yeah. Like, I guess I'm in the park eating a sandwich and then like, I'm leaving all the trash
there. I'm having
there.
A meat cute. Yeah.
My butler is going to like take care of this for me. It's like, that's really special. Thank you
I'm
so going to
meet a rich businessman who.
He's going to read me Lolita in the park. I'm a 43-year-old Lolita.
Okay, now we get to the gym where Danny decides. I do want to say, in terms of like feminism and things like that, we've, as a society, we've always been really angry about Sandy altering her appearance for a man, but we never talk about Danny altering his like desires for a woman. He doesn't like athletics. He doesn't like gym class and all this stuff. But he does it for her. And he ends up lettering
it. Yeah. He letters in 1 week. So that was amazing.
And so we forget that Danny also, I mean, at the end of the day, they do choose to be greasers together.
Yeah.
But Danny did alter his lifestyle to be with her.
That's very true point. And he is an unsung hero of this film.
He's very sweet in this film. I don't think I've ever realized like how sweet he is and how hard it is for him to be mean.
So once again, this comes back to Zach's really been on this tear recently of like, it's hard to be a white man.
I didn't say white.
It's hard to be a man.
I just think especially in that time, it must have been very difficult to be a sensitive man. There are men who are just like
crater face.
There are people who are just born to be like a stereotypical person. And I think like it's really easy for those people. And those are the people who unfortunately like rule this country and like they think everyone should be like them. But for like if you were a sensitive, non-athletic man in the 50s, like your life was probably really difficult.
I kind of feel like you're so right about this. Like I'm imagining myself at a press conference for like Ron DeSantis and I just stand up and I say, Ron, just sing. I know you want to sing and dance.
You just gave me goosebumps.
And he just like breaks free of his chains and just starts like performing. And he's fixed.
No, like I do feel like every man who is like homophobic and racist and horrible, I feel like if you just like looked at them in the eye and you were like, it's okay.
Sing.
Just like, yeah, it's like, you're okay.
They're all going to sing like Never Enough from the greatest, like Ron DeSantis singing Never Enough from the Greatest Showman during like the presidential debates. And that's it. And then he sits down.
Sloan, you and I could change this world.
I really do feel like if we just were like we're like, Lester Holt, here's the town hall idea. Everyone performs a musical number. There is no questions. It's just everybody gets a musical number and you vote based on.
It's bipartisan. It's
bipartisan.
Like,
literally, why are we not deciding like elections based upon musicals?
Why are we looking at what we have in common versus what we are opposed to?
Like, let's find the common ground. Everybody loves Grease. That's what the presidential election should be. Like, are you a pink lady or are you a T-Bird? Or are you like, are we all the same at the end of the day?
Are you a Kinnicky Rising? Are you a Zuko Rising? It's like,
I really feel like we're like onto something.
I do too.
Okay. I want to talk about,
Yeah, because I said Danny's showing up to the gym, altering the uniform. He cuffs up the sleeves, hikes up the shorts.
Well, that
he's
like was a little me slutty. And Jim. That was
yeah,
me.
He's like a little slutty boy.
He had on and Sophie then, shorts that he rolled two times.
And no, I mean, it was amazing. Like, you could see both the definition of both testicles.
So
and
good.
And the coach does that. There's this really beautiful ASMR half second where the coach takes the cigarette out of Danny's mouth and his lip gets caught in the cigarette and it pulls it and then he goes like this. You guys can't see, but he goes like this.
He just like lightly.
He just He realizes that his lips are dry because the cig pulled it, and he was just and he like just this really quick like lip lick, and it's everything. I'm not attracted. Like I don't think that he's like cute in this movie. I don't find him attractive, but in that moment, I was like, oh.
You don't think he's attractive in this movie?
I really don't. I think I'm going to say something very strange. And I almost feel like there's something about Kinnicky that was a little more attractive.
Oh, we have a lot of user questions where people were like, opinion, but Kinnicky over Travolta.
Well, I think if we're doing the whole cast, I think Rizzo is the most attractive in this film. I think she's the sexiest woman to walk this planet and I don't feel bad saying this because she was 39 years old, but like,
Not
17, not a teen pregnancy. She could have raised this child perfectly well.
Totally fine.
But
honestly, a geriatric pregnancy. Like
honestly,
literally,
she needed to go to more doctor's appointments.
She's a high risk OB patient. Like she's not. Her baby's in danger of like a few errors.
But that scene where the coach pulls the cig out of his mouth really did send some shivers up my spine.
It sent shivers up my spine when we find out that Danny is actually the character Michael from the movie Michael, and he's an alien angel who's come to Earth because he's apparently never heard or seen a basketball game in all of his years of all of his 17 year or 18 years on Earth.
I mean, never seen it. Here's the thing though, like I have seen basketball. I come from a family who like, so my birthday is in March. Mm-hmm. And anytime my mom had a party for me for my birthday,
March Madness themed,
all of the men were huddled in the living room watching March Madness.
Yeah.
So like basketball like has been in my life. If you put me on a court, I would look like that. Like
you just start punching people.
I just start like weird, like shimmying and like I carry the ball.
You carry the ball and start like just like kind of monkey hopping
aggressively. Yeah. I find basketball to be the hardest sport for me to even like resonate with. I can't even like start to play. I don't even know how to like. It's like every other sport. I think I could
ball?
Like fake it. I'm just that's what I mean. Like I think I can fake it for most sports. Like for a little while with like other non like good athletic people, but like basketball is so foreign to me. It is.
Well, how do you get the ball?
Sloan, I don't know how you run up to someone and take the ball without holding it.
Like, I'd be like, excuse me, so I'm sorry. And I'm just like, I wouldn't know what to do. Like when I watch Rex play soccer and like Paul's always like, aggressive, like get in there. And Rex will like steal the ball. I'm just like, how did he do that? How did he get in there?
That
how did he take it?
Well, that's easier to me.
You've never seen 7 6-year-olds pile up in a kicking in a 1-inch kick match. Oh, it's quite something. When that ball breaks free and all hell breaks loose, it's quite something. Anyway, that Danny does wrestling, which like there's nothing gayer than wrestling. And what do you do if you like pop a huge huge
wood.
Bummer. Yeah, from the.
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think if you are a closeted gay boy listening to this, and your family won't let you partake in any sort of like gay activity,
sign up for wrestling. Sign up for like water polo. Like right. you'll get what you need there.
You'll get a little hit to get you through high school.
You'll get what you need, and you'll get locker room time, and your parents will get off your back. That's our advice to you. The homophobia then, at the dance when they were like, so we get to the dance scene.
No, hold on. Which dance scene? We haven't even done the diner yet.
Oh my God. We haven't even done the diner yet.
No, we have another hour. So we have like,
three more hours. I'm going to be editing this podcast. This is my magnum. This will be my swan song. I will dive off the roof of my house once I hit post on buzzsprout.com.
Sloan is like a female praying mantis. And when this is over, she just dies peacefully, like in her living room.
I'm going to hit post. I'm going to hit it. And then I'm going to pull a blanket up and I'm going to just cross my arms and I'm going to let Anubis come and carry me over to the river Styx. Like, I can't, this is going to take so long. It's so long.
And she hasn't even started the one that's due today.
Oh God. It's already 11. It's already 11 a.m. Okay. I only have a few more hours. I'm going to have to tell my mom she has to come over.
You're panicking. Someone's getting sweaty.
I'm like, I just like broke into a sweat. I'm like, fuck, when am I going to edit this? Because it's family movie night.
No, you have a week to do this.
No, I know, but I have to edit the... Okay, whatever. We don't need to talk about how I'm editing a podcast.
Okay, anyway, so we get to the diner. Oof. Which is, I think, my favorite scene of the whole movie. It's my second favorite scene of the whole movie. So good, though. And it's very realistic. I don't know how to explain to you the realism of this film versus the absurdism of this film. Like,
so true, Zach.
It's like the way that I feel like they were given goals to accomplish, and then that's it. They were almost like Danny and Sandy are going to be sitting here. You guys have to make them uncomfortable, eventually throw a milkshake and just figure that out on your own.
I kept sending Zach screenshots and I was like, every still from this film is a Renaissance painting. And Zach was like, Prince. The diner. No, we need Prince. Like the diner scene with Danny and Sandy like huddled over and then the rest of the gang behind them. It's like, Wes Anderson like could never, like, this is something
he
like
wishes.
The cinematography of this movie like is really slept on because it is gorgeously shot. Like every scene, even the scene with Danny and the coach talking, the way that they are, it's like everything is beautiful in this film. All of the shots are gorgeous.
It's like really crazy.
I'm being like, serious. Like it's a really beautiful looking film.
No, that I know, like that scene in the diner is like literally set up like a Renaissance painting. And it's like incredible. Every single person is having a separate conversation and looking, but then like Rizzo's also like, you're like not even, I don't even know what you're supposed to be focused on, but like Rizzo's like looking at Danny talking to Sandy. It's just like this, it's a really like.
Jan is grabbing fistfuls of curly fries.
She's a glutton eating disorder. Like
it's they, like. So she's the fat one, by the way.
Right. She's the fat pig.
He, what's his name? Duty says to her, you're more than just your fat.
But also like when she says, when like Sandy orders the burger and Danny's like, it gets hard thinking about
he's
how
like, she's like, oh, I'm a feeder. Are you a feeder?
No, but I'm telling you, when you go out with a girl and like they order a burger or something, it really is. It's very sexy. Like if you're like a girl who's just like, I can't eat in front of a guy.
No, eat.
Eat, mama.
Don't order a salad. That looks stupid.
No, it looks like
unless you want like a good salad. But like, yeah, eat food. Eat red meat. There's, as Gene Hackman says in Heartbreakers, there's nothing more glamorous than a woman eating red meat.
A woman like getting a huge meal on a date to me is so sexy.
What you should do.
A huge bowl of pasta.
Imagine going to like an all-you-can-eat buffet and you just eat 20,000 calories. You're so bloated. You change your pants halfway through the meal.
But like, how cute is it though? Like, for you guys to just be so full and like gross, and you just like collapse into a couch and watch a movie together. Like, that's so cute.
That's as cute. I love that she orders like, I don't know what a chocolate ice cream cherry Coke is, and I don't like either of those things, and I want to drink that so badly.
It like, was like she says like a cherry soda, but then she says like cherry soda, and he's like, I'll have a cherry soda with ice cream, and she's like, all of the same, and it's like, what do you mean?
It's like what is that? I guess it's an ice cream float, but I've never heard of a chocolate ice cream.
Have you seen the TikToks? Have you seen the TikToks of the girl who inserts herself into movies and like reacts as if she's actually in the movie?
No, that's hilarious.
No, it's really, there's a scene like she puts herself in Mommy Dearest where she's getting yelled at and she's like, girl, like, why are you talking to your mom like that? And like, it's like very funny. So I'm imagining myself like at the table being like,
ew.
I'm like, a cherry Coke with ice. What are you? And it's just like, what are you ordering?
Like, do you want?
I'm like, can I have I'm like, I'll have a cheeseburger medium well with a.
I have a plain cheeseburger. Oh my God. Paul took Rex to McDonald's the other day. Paul took Rex to McDonald's and they walk in the front door and Rex is fuming mad. And I was like, what's wrong? And Rex goes, I guess dad didn't know that I like my cheeseburger plain. And Paul goes, how could I have known? And I was like, how could you not have known?
You've known him for 7 years.
I'm like, how do you not know how he takes his cheeseburger? Like, that's all he eats. What are you talking about? It was so weird.
He's been your best friend for 6 years. You don't know.
It was like so weird. I was like, this is fucking weird, dude.
It's funny because I went to a burger place in Providence with a 6-year-old or 7-year-old recently. And they brought it with the special sauce, even though we asked for without it.
Oh, my God. Are you guys okay?
Well, the thing was, is like, I was like, just try it. And if you don't like it, like, I'll like have them fix it. And he tried it. And he was like, it's all right. He was like, it's all right. I'll eat it. But next time I don't. He was like, but next time I don't want it. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Like, that's maturity.
This kid is like he's a Cancer.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Mine's an Aries. So he was like, all right, I guess my dad hates me and I will seek revenge.
Literally, like, Paul will wake up with
Paul's dead. His
face cut off.
Yeah, no, Paul was scalped that night. And he had to eat his scalp on the rest of the burger.
It's like the sequel to Silence of the Lambs with Julianne Moore when
it's to eat the brain.
He like when Ray Liotta's brain is like opened.
Yeah, that's actually what Rex is serving for dinner on and you Father's like
showed
Day.
Up in a ball in a cocktail dress.
I would, if Rex was like, Mom, I made you dinner, and it was Paul's brain, I would be like, that is so cute.
So sweet, baby.
Oh, my God.
Mama's little boy.
How did you get a bone saw? That is so cute. I'd be so proud. I'd be like,
he's like, no, I used the butterfly knife you bought me on our vacation.
Okay, it's dull. It's dull. It's practice.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, so then we get, so after the... what I really want to land on with the diner scene is that they show up. Danny and Sandy are trying to be discreet. Well, Danny is.
Uh-huh.
And then the whole gang just shows up. They drag tables up. They pull the menus up. They just sit down. They start smoking, eating, ordering. And it's just very cozy. It's like this very comfortable. None of them are like being, I can't explain it. It was like they were all kind of being nice. They were all like, just being like silly friends. And
she would not accept anything else.
Vi.
That's right. I don't know why I called her Sil.
You mind if I stay here a while, Vi? So yourself. And then so they end up leaving. And then that's when Frenchie stays and we get beauty school dropout.
When I was little and Beauty School Dropout featured all of Frenchie's friends as the girls in her dream sequence.
Is it all
sequence.
Of them or is it it's just Rizzo some of them. And Marty?
And Jan. I never noticed Jan until this last rewatch. Jan. It's all the background girls that are like in all the scenes, like, tell me more. They're all there. It's all the same girls.
The weird thing is like Rizzo's face the whole time.
Rizzo's? Okay. I'm so glad you said this because I, as a young child, was always like very like unsettled by Rizzo's like personality in this scene. And still to this day, she's like, it's like so mean.
It's like she's looking at her she's as like a drunk mom. She's like,
are you a fucking beauty school dropout? Is this your Delulu song that we're singing to you? She's you like, fucking oh, are you stupid happy bitch
that I gave you the money for beauty school and now you're a podcaster.
It is a really mean face. And Marty is just there, like, doing her little, like, Marty Maraschino, like, pout. And, like, barely singing with, like, her titties out. I love that scene. Can I be one of those girls for Halloween?
I was thinking about so many Halloween costumes while I was watching this.
I can't just be one person from Grease. I'm going to have to make Rex watch Grease and then force him.
He'll probably love it.
I think he would like Grease. He would.
Every time
you
walk out of the room, he's like, where are you going to flog your log?
Oh, he already says that to me. And I'm like, no, I'm going to smoke a blunt and you know it.
Okay. So after that scene, now we're at the dance. So okay, buckle up. We only have an hour and a half left, you guys.
Okay. I got like my like roller coaster like harness on. I'm ready.
Okay. So first note I have is Vince Fontaine, pedo.
I also have pedo. Major. Okay. So he's at this dance and he is, I mean, Marty Maraschino, like all slutty high school girls like myself did, we threw ourselves at an older man. Like, that's obvious. But we
I'm not blaming her. I'm not blaming her. I get it.
No. We're not victim blaming. We're blaming Vince Fontaine. He's like,
I know why she did it.
I come into your room every night. Crazy.
Immediately he says that.
Immediately. And she's like, I'll suck your dick.
I never thought that was weird ever. I never thought until now that it was weird that those two were flirting. I was like, yeah. She's a slut.
Yeah, she's a slut. That's what she deserves.
That's what sluts do.
That's what a slut gets.
Well, I was fine with it. I just was like, that's cool. I hope she gets laid tonight. Like, I just didn't think it was weird.
I was like, oh my God, she's going to be famous. She's going to have a famous boyfriend. Now I'm like, that was a 48-year-old man
who was
at
literally
a high school
about to fuck
dance.
A 17-year-old.
Very Jared from Subway vibes was un-okay. Then homophobia at the dance. We get one of the rules is has to be boy-girl dancing. Can't be
and
no gay
shit.
And
then they say, sorry, Eugene.
Blink. So fucked up. Poor Eugene. He probably went on to invent like Apple computers or something.
No, that was Eugene Jobs. Like that was
not Eugene Jobs. Okay.
I wrote the face work at the dance is insane. Everyone's like this.
It's literally when Joel Schumacher made Batman and Robin and he was like, okay guys, you are all the Dayglow baddies. He was like, watch the dancers in Grease and make those faces. Like, that's what was happening.
It's really
it was like insane. Mr. Freeze henchmen, like Dayglow.
It's like constant face work.
It's their faces were like, it was like Jim Carrey levels of like elasticity.
It was what's his name from Scream. She's all that.
It was a Matthew Lillard coated. Like
they put their entire Lillardussies into it.
Imagine Matthew Lillard's tongue if it was a face and it was in the movie Grease on every background dancer. Like that was what was going on. Those background dancers were the most dedicated people that I've ever seen in any film ever.
It was insane. Now, before I also want to put Rizzo's dance outfit is one of the most incredible costumes I've ever seen. Her heels, her feet in the heels.
Little heels like a Barbie. She looked like a fucking Barbie.
She looked like a Barbie. I would have literally wanted to fuck her all night. Like, that was the
so
most
sexy.
Set her tits. The little spaghetti straps.
The little mermaid flounce.
It's like, and like the way that she just is like, she like allows herself to be manhandled, but in a very like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, she's bouncing and she's being manhandled, but she's like bouncing in the manhandle. And it's like, she's in control. And it's the
she's
most
getting like ripped. We all knew women like in the 90s like this, I feel like, who were older though. Like it was like aunts or aunts' friends or something where they were like kind of getting manhandled by their husbands or something, and it was like, but they knew, like they were like, I'm gonna fuck this guy later, and it was
it was a dance. It was a powerful dance.
Today tete. Yes, it was like
it was a rumba. It was a mambo number 5. She was in control.
Mama number 5.
She was in control. Like when she sings in There Are Worse Things I Could Do, like she mentions this.
Don't
she's
even
like,
get me started.
I could get these guys to like think I'll be with them, but like I'm not going to be with them. She's,
I literally have written There Are Worse Things I Could Do is the best song on the soundtrack.
It's
don't at me.
Can you allow me to record myself singing it and just insert that entire song at the end of the podcast?
So I don't what?
I just want to sing it for everybody, the whole thing.
Why don't you just go upstairs and sing it to your contractors? Sloan and I were texting and calling each other nonstop the entire movie, and I'm talking every 5 minutes texting.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't stop.
Texting was every 10 seconds, calling was every 5 minutes. And I'm not exaggerating, I'm not joking, you guys.
But I would pause the movie to text you.
We were texting, calling. It was insane. It was radio silent. And we were watching the movie at the same time. We were always at the same moment. Radio silence.
10 minutes.
10 full minutes of complete silence during the hand jive scene, the dancing scene. My jaw was resting on my titties. Like, it was... Sloan, I was like this on the couch. Like, I had like my legs spread and my elbows on my knees. Like, I was
panting. If a nuclear bomb exploded outside, I wouldn't have noticed. Rex could have walked in holding his own head, severed head in his hands, and I'd been like, not right now, mommy's watching hand jive.
That's like that gif, I mean, the meme of the burning baby. And yeah. Right now, mommy's watching people drown in mud at burning.
Not right now, mommy's bullying somebody on the internet.
It's like insane. That dance scene is one of the most incredible works of art in our, it's not in our time, I guess, because it's before we were born, but like, in life, like,
you think you know that scene
right now. You think you're like, Zach and Sloan are so dramatic, it's a good scene, but like, they're not, they're like crazy.
Go watch it again, like, just even go on YouTube. Yeah, just go YouTube the dance scene.
By the way, everybody, this movie is on Max. It's on Max. Yeah,
it's like, it's basically free because I know you have HBO. Yeah,
right.
It is. Every part is so incredible. And then when the music swells and
I have a stomach ache thinking about it.
And Danny and Sandy come out. Like, when Olivia Newton-John died, I just know that she arrived in heaven and she came out doing that. I gave myself goosebumps. She came out doing that dance and God said, finally, a true angel is here. And she just swept out onto the clouds.
That like gun.
Oh my God, the gun dance. Ugh. I have, look at my chills.
No, me too. No, it's
no, the gun dance.
The gun dance.
I was like, honestly, I don't even know what was happening outside
but
of
then
my.
Even when Cha-Cha Di Gregorio, the best dancer at St. Bernadette's, like, she very quickly, like, she's seen in the background skulking and making like a lion. She's like a lioness. She's going to pounce. And she clearly pays. She either blows Sunny or gives him money. And Sunny is now, did you notice this? I've never noticed this until I watched this, but like, until I watched it last night, Sunny rips her out, clearly because Cha-Cha was like, I'll blow you if you get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes Sandy out of the dance, and then Cha-Cha comes up, and when Danny is like, okay, I've just gotta work with
her. He's like, I'm in the dance.
When Cha-Cha and Danny are doing this dance, it is, I have literal goosebumps from my forehead to my toes. Like, it is one of the best
movies. Do it, baby! The way she gets on the floor with that taffeta and just starts, it is the most visceral, sensual, like,
what
most...
What is wrong with us?
No, it's like the most, I can feel the fabric, I can feel the floor, I can smell
both
the gym.
Them, like, on the ground, is like, wriggling, like,
do it, baby! It, what, worms on a, I still have full body chills. It
me
is,
too. Your camera just moved. It's
like, it is, that scene is everything.
And then they do this thing where they, like, bring everyone back onto the dance floor with their movement. And Cha-Cha, and so here's the thing. He's handing the trophy to Danny because he is the student at the school.
Cha-Cha does not go there because she's a 55-year-old woman.
I don't want to get there. I have a theory, but first, so he hands the trophy to Danny, but before Danny can even reach for it, she reaches over and grabs it. And then they do, again, one of the most mesmerizing dances of all time during the crescendo ending where her legs are like, her legs are flailing about.
She's never on the... She's not touching the floor. She's a marionette. She's doing marionette moves.
Her body... Like, how are women in shoes like that able to so violently move their legs like that? Like,
I don't know. Like, I'm going to go try it because it...
I'm going to go to like a dollar store and buy some size 12 heels and get that dance down.
I'm going to go put my... I'm going to get some strappy little T straps on, and I'm going to grab a trophy from my house that my neighbor gave me. And I'm going to ask my contractors to stop what they're doing. And I'm going to say, can you tell me if I'm the best dancer at St. Bernadette's? And I'm going to do it. All right,
so let's land. Cha-Cha is a 40-year-old woman who fakes her age to win high school competitions across the country.
Where is the Cha-Cha story?
That's what I'm saying. If she weren't dead, I would demand a sequel, spinoff, origin story. Actually, we could get it.
Have we had this conversation? Like, why am I having
deja vu?
Yeah.
I just think that because you just watched Orphan. So I think that.
Right.
So she is, what is her name? Esther?
Yeah, she's Esther.
Cha-Cha is the Esther of dance competitions.
Yeah, she went to St. Bernadette's, but her past is she's a Russian woman who escaped in a mental asylum. Yes. And she's actually, you know what? She might be 400 years old. And I told Zach last night, I'm like, this is like those towns that would get the dancing sickness and everybody would dance until they died. She is an ancient being who went from town to town.
She's a sentient being.
Yeah, she like cursed these towns and made all the men fall in love with her and then made all the towns dance to their death. Then she took all the blood from the women to stay young forever, went to the next town. And well, now
youngish.
Youngish. Yeah, she 40.
I had a teacher that looked just like her, And I know for a fact... Not for a fact, but that Cha-Cha and this teacher could probably suck a mean dick.
I am forcing Paul to be Danny Zuko for Halloween so I can be Cha-Cha. I need to wear Cha-Cha's costume. Like, I need to have my mom make me a ruched velvet, beaded, taffeta, sweetheart neckline halter dress. And I need to know what it feels like on my body. I have to know. I can't die not knowing what it feels like to be Cha-Cha for a moment.
I just wrote, I'm dumbstruck. I was dumbstruck.
I think I wrote, like, my jaw is just, I need to pick my jaw up. I just wrote, the dance scene. Cha-Cha's trophy dance. Her sensuality. Holy fuck. Then John Travolta, sir, you are a dancer.
He really is.
Then I wrote, the one bloated weird man with the undone tie? ?
That was, yeah. I mean, the background people are, like, creepy. Okay, so after the dance... Now that the dance is over, we can focus on drag racing. And
right. We still have 2 hours.
Not drag queens, drag racing.
RuPaul wishes.
RuPaul does wish. So we get back to the garage. They've fixed Grease Lightning, and Miss Murdoch is a lesbian icon.
That outfit?
She's got a beautiful necklace on with a newsboy cap and like a garage jumpsuit.
That's literally... Mother. How I want to dress. No, that's mother.
It's mother goat. It's everything that she could be. And
that's mother. She's wearing a Luann statement necklace and like a Rosie the Riveter earrings. Jumpsuit. It's like costume jewelry and like Rosie the Riveter mixed together.
Yeah,
with a lesbian.
A conductor hat. Yeah.
You know, it's like and she's just like, hey, I know you guys are all in high school, but yeah, you can use this as a chop shop. And also I condone your drag racing. I'll be there later. I don't care.
Yeah, they're like, they say something like, we'll let you know like how it goes. And she's like, I'm coming. Like, what are you talking about?
She's like, Thunder Road.
Yeah. She's like, and then I'm going to eat out Rizzo.
Oh my God. Oh, she for sure.
We had a
lesbian drag race teacher.
I don't care if I'm whistleblowing here, but we had like the disciplinary like person in our high school was in her 40s and was a lesbian, and she was sleeping with 16-year-old girls in our school.
Work queen.
If the police are listening,
investigate.
Okay, so that's when Kanicki like talks to I still don't really know like what he wanted out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Kanicki takes Danny aside, and everything that Danny's like, you want me to be like your second? And he's like, well, no. And he's like, you want me to be like just there for you? And he's like, well, no.
Yeah, I didn't understand this conversation either.
And then they kind of like look at each other's eyes for like a very sensual moment. And then they get like gay panic sets in, and they start to like, they're like, whoa,
Hey, no homo, no homo, no homo
and
here.
He like,
hey.
Brushes his hair with two combs and like, do you know that that's called a duck's ass?
When a duck's ass, when they do two combs and flip
Well, when you brush it back and then you take the comb and go down the middle.
That's called a duck's ass.
Yeah, my dad was big on having a duck's ass. My dad was a greaser.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
My dad was a I have pictures. My dad was a greaser.
I got to get my dad. I'm going to text my dad and ask him to send me this the high school photos of him doing track because he literally looks like Danny Zuko.
My dad was a basketball playing greaser, fuck boy, bad boy. Like this was
Can we get Danny, some old pics?
But also like a sensitive queen. Like my dad is Danny Zuko.
I love that for you.
So that's where is anybody surprised at that? Anyway, so that's why you can't make me think that Danny and you can't make me think otherwise that Kaneki and Zuko fuck.
Yeah, I don't know what that conversation is about. Maybe it was just about like, hey, are you going to be there for me if like I die?
In general, he's like, in general, will you be there? He's like, will you just
be my friend?
Will you just be with me? Yeah. Like, he's like, it feels right.
Leave Sandy. And like, if anything, this dance number has taught me that like, I want to be with you. I saw that Saran wrap. I'm like, I
want to be with you.
I want to be that Saran wrap.
I want to be that Saran wrap. I want to be the Saran wrap on your dick.
It's true.
So then we get there are worse things I could do because Rizzo thinks she's pregnant. And then she's just skulking around like the schoolyard singing this like sultry blues song.
I did do that in high school like a lot.
Of course.
That was actually me. But there was one line where Rizzo says, I feel like a defective typewriter. I missed a period.
Yeah.
Which like I got that when I was like a little bit older. And to this day, I was like, wow. That's a good line.
Oh, Sloan, I didn't get it until just now.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't get when she and Kaneki are hooking up in the back of the car. I didn't know what the 25-cent insurance policy was. I didn't realize it was a condom all those years ago.
I always knew it was a condom. I didn't understand like what.
I didn't know what was happening.
I didn't know like it could just break. Like how? Why could it just like
did
snap?
It crumble?
I know.
Like did it disintegrate?
He's like it broke, and that's what confused me. I was like, condoms are hard. Like that's what I was like very confused at that. I remember as a kid being like, what?
I know that the band at the bottom can like break. Like
well,
tear.
Now I know that. Yeah, but it, like as like an 11-year-old, I was like it. I was like, what do you mean?
The first time I ever saw a condom, like I had to be like, I used one. I was like, oh my God.
The first time you saw one is when you used one?
I think so.
Did you have it or did he?
He bought them.
You're like, well, he was 47.
He actually had a vasectomy because he had four kids. And he was my music teacher. That's not funny. It's true.
It's not.
It's so sad.
Anyway. So, all right. Then Sloan and I we can land on this together, being the hot starting line girl.
Oh my God! My dream. Imagine being so hot and wearing
as someone
a scarf.
Who watches Fast and Furious. And then this, I'm like, this has been my.
It's like, what an honor. What a privilege.
And the way, I don't know if you noticed this, I'm sure you did. So she does the whole like thing where she like, she's basically
oh, that's
like.
So you.
It's so me. But then she does this turn. She turns almost.
The desperate turn.
Movement. Like.
The desperate like, turn. To watch her man just soar off. On the Thunder
she
Road.
She has to be a Pisces. Like, there's no other. The oh, manipulative drama.
Or Leo. Very Leo energy, that
you're
chart.
Right. There's a lot of similarities I'm learning about with Pisces and Leos.
Yeah. Pisces are, like, a gentler Leo, I feel like.
Like a more, like
more manipulative.
Leo. Yeah, that's the thing. More manipulative, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But to take off your necktie and to, like, wave it around in the air. And to do like a sensual dance and then two men two 17-year-old boys just take off past you in their convertibles. And you're just like, oh my God, rush, wanna feed. Like it's so good.
It's so good. So obviously Danny wins. And then we get one of the, I think my second favorite song of the film is the Summer Loving reprise.
Oh my God. It's so good. I kind of had forgotten about it. And then I was like, same. Oh my God. Like,
I'd forgotten about Sandy at the drive-in.
Stranded at the drive-in.
Wait, it's so funny you say that because I hated that song when I was a kid.
I think it's my third favorite.
Loved it this time.
Like, what will they
say? Hearing a kid say what, or hearing a grown man say what will they say Monday at school when it's 50-year-old man who's balding.
Like, are you a teacher?
It's like, what will they say in the teacher's lounge Monday at school?
But like, I think my top three favorite songs are like, There Are Worse Things I Could Do, the reprise of Summer Lovin', and then Sandy.
Oh, Sandy.
It's like the non-single songs are my favorite.
So that song is so good. The music in this movie is like incredible.
Sit and wonder why, why.
You're not good. Okay. I thought you were gonna keep going.
You let me. Oh, Sandy.
I'm not gonna. I almost just really broke out, you guys.
Sandy. That's Sandy where. When he does the Sandy?
I feel like my cousins and I, like I mean, not all of them, but there was a grouping of cousins who really loved this movie, and like we would always do a Sandy. Like, I mean,
we need to go to karaoke, Zach, and just shut it down and just really just do a grease medley.
I'm sure there are some of these near you, but downtown there's a hotel that has a basement karaoke bar, and on one side of the building you can rent like private rooms to do
just karaoke. For Grease.
Like, just you can rent it for whatever you want.
I am gonna have a Rydell High themed funeral.
Maybe your wedding vow renewal in Vegas should be Rydell High.
Okay, I'm 100% in.
I do think that we need some sort of musical, like, reunion of these people. I think, like, it could be... So it's been, what, like, 45 years?
We don't... So many of them are dead, Zach.
But that's okay. That's what happens in real life.
But, like, we can't... We won't have Sandy.
I understand, but, like, I still think that Rizzo could be doing a number. Is she alive?
Yeah, soccer chanting still hanging on for dear life.
So the next scene is, you know, slam, slam, slammy, champ, chabop, yip, So, well, first, I guess it's that song.
You're the One That I Want.
Tell me about it, Stud.
Yeah, like, because I remember going to, like, a lot of, like...
It's still good. I don't care what you say.
No, it's obviously good. It's just that I remember my mom would take us to these... I live in a very Portuguese-centric city. I know that's weird, but it's... So they had... All summer long, they have these, like... They call them feasts, but they're just like, they're like big parties, like in parking lots, like in churches. And my mom would take us there all the time. Like, the food is like incredible. And they would just play, they would always play that song, like constantly. And I remember, like, growing up, like, people would just like play that song all the time. And thinking back on it now, I'm like, because it was only 20 years old. So
yeah, it got played a lot.
So that's like us just playing like Oops, I Did It Again at a party. Like, it's like, that's like us listening
You're
to
not
like
wrong.
Puff Daddy.
Yesterday at Rex's soccer, I'm sorry, you just reminded me because you said Portugal. This little girl was talking to me and I asked her what her name was and she said, my name's Madeira. And I said, oh, what a beautiful name. And she
said, there's a restaurant in Madeira literally two blocks from me.
She goes to me, it's a very popular name. And I go, is it? She goes, yeah, in Portugal.
I'm not kidding you. I could walk to a restaurant called Madeira.
So this little girl was not lying.
No, she's not. Madeira is also a wine.
No, I know it's a wine. I didn't know it was a popular Portuguese name. And the six-year-old girl told me it was last night. And I was like, okay,
if Portugal is playing a soccer game, the entire city is dead silent until they either win or lose. And then it becomes like...
raucous.
Yeah, it's crazy. You can smell the bacalhau in the air.
The bacalhau?
Fish.
Okay, thanks.
If you haven't had a bifacasa, I mean, you don't know what you're missing.
I haven't had a bifacasa.
It's like a Portuguese steak.
Okay, well, I'd love to come visit you sometime and have one of those at Madeira's.
Okay, I'll take you to like a little teeny dark crowded Portuguese restaurant.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, so at the end of the movie, we get Hot Sandy, which like I'm sure Zach didn't appreciate when Hot Sandy turns into Hot Sandy.
I still appreciate a Hot Sandy, don't get me wrong. That sounds like a sandwich.
Tell me about it, Stud.
Yeah, I got boners for that.
She looks so old, but so sexy. That outfit is everything. That little, the toe on the cigarette. I love when Marty, like when Sandy's smoking the cigarette and then she looks back and she's like, what do I do? And Marty's like, throw it down and put it under your shoe. That moment in the film, I was like, that's women. Like, that's women. That's the power of womanhood.
It is the power of womanhood. Listen, I understand the criticism of Sandy changing who she is. We have no proof to say that she changed who she was. She literally just wanted to look sexy for her man. Like, it's like, who doesn't want to look sexy for their spouse? Gay, straight, lesbian, whoever you are. Like, you want to look sexy for your partner. And she wanted to look sexy. Leave her alone. You don't know if she just walked out of there and put on another poodle skirt. Shut up.
She might have had a poodle skirt in the back of the car that in the flies car,
she
away.
She took her shoes off. Halfway through, she took her shoes off. She was like,
I watched her jump when she jumps back into frame. She's shoeless.
That's the first time I ever noticed that.
Me too.
She's holding them in her hand.
So cute, though.
That's what I'm saying. It's like she knew what comfort was. Like she just wanted to look sexy this one time. Leave her alone.
Imagine going to a carnival and wearing like skin tight, like satin pants. That seems
June. It's like June, obviously.
That seems
like
crazy.
Black outfits. It's like,
okay, there's one thing that after all these years still makes me crazy during You're the One That I Want, when they're doing like the turning heads thing and like boop, 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 honey. On the second, like, honey, their heads don't meet at the same time. And it's like, why didn't we just reshoot that? Why did we keep that in?
I noticed a lot of mistakes in this that nowadays would have been reshot. There's something like gritty about like pre-1985 film.
They're just like, keep it in.
Keep it. Like there's a scene where it's an upshot and you can like see up Frenchie's skirt. And like, it's not supposed, but it's like not, I don't, it's not like a thing. And so it was just like, why? Like normally they would just be like, you know what? Sorry.
Do you sit and wonder why?
So anyway, after that, we obviously get the whole like Rizzo's not pregnant. She's like, oh my God, Sloan.
What?
When you just said that, my Apple Music just turned on and started to play music.
Weird.
That's wicked weird. Anyway, so we find out Rizzo's not pregnant. She's like, ow, ow.
Wait, say it again because I couldn't hear you. No, it's not there.
So it's this big like thing. She's not pregnant. And he's like, I'm gonna make an honest woman out of you.
Rizzo's like, I'm not pregnant. I can't get pregnant. I'm 59 years old.
And he's like, we should get married and then live our golden ages together.
Let's retire. Let's go down to Florida and retire together.
No talk of college, like of any
no,
of these people.
No one's going to college. No one's going to college.
Crazy.
Marty Maraschino is pregnant from Vince Fontaine. So she's set for life.
It's just crazy. And then now there's two things that there's one thing everyone's confused about. A second thing that I am very confused about, no one's ever mentioned, but I'm sure you're here too. So they get in the car after the dance, after the Wompom Baloo Bomb dance, and they're flying. They're in the car. They're driving. Everyone's waving at them goodbye, like they had just gotten married at the carnival. And then Sandy and Danny start flying. And I noticed for the first time in this watch that they do say, if this car were any better, it would fly.
Okay.
They do say that. He says to Miss Murdoch, she says, you guys did a good job. And he said, if we did any better, it would fly.
Okay, that actually is the missing puzzle piece, Zach. Good job.
So then at the end of the movie, they fly away and everyone's waving at them like, no, it's totally normal that they're in a flying car. It's like,
he's like, bye, have a good flight in your car.
And they have no seatbelts on or anything. It's like just really, and it's weird.
She like bops up and she's like, oh my God, we're flying. But she's not like, oh my God, why we're flying. Like, she's not scared. She's just like, She's like, how are they land? How do they land?
So obviously everyone knows that weird is so, that part is so fucking weird. Like, and then as they're flying away, the song is still going on, but it turns into a, but it turns into a Chipmunks remix.
It goes like, it's like the octave changes.
No, but gee, it's the Chipmunks. I'm not exaggerating. Have you not noticed this?
That's so creepy.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Or yeah, are you gaslighting me? No, okay. I know what you're talking about.
It literally is like they're going, wing, wing, wanna wanna bing, bing.
I know what you're talking about.
It's like, they're like, when the car flies away, turn this music into the Chipmunks Christmas album. And it's like, I feel like the producers were like, are you sure? And they were like,
yeah.
They don't trust me. Just do it.
Trust me, like, you guys, trust me. It's going to tie everything together. You'll understand.
Like,
he
lost his mind like for the last 1 minute of the film. It's like,
it was like, they were like, you know what? I think people aren't going to be around for the end. So we can
the
just
editors
kind of
were like,
do whatever.
The editors were like, you want us to play Witch Doctor by Chipmunks at the end? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Get the rights. How much does it cost? $6 million. That's the budget. Put it in. It's like, so weird. It's like, it's so weird how it ends. And it's just like, and that's just like the clouds. It's like, what does it mean? I mean, some people have theories that Sandy dies at the beach and this is all like before she gets, either she's dead and this
goosebumps.
Is all, you don't know that theory?
No.
Yeah. People think that this whole thing is a hallucination and she's like going into heaven and that's why she flies off in the car. She, this whole thing is a dream sequence and she's dead on the beach in the beginning. She drowned when they're sitting on that rock and the wave comes and crashes over her. She actually drowns. No, bing bang, walla walla bing bang.
But that's but do you remember in the movie Homeward Bound when the family is singing the Witch Doctor song by the Chipmunks and they're all like ding dang walla walla bing bang
yeah
ting tang walla walla bing bang.
Zach, no part of the last minute of this film makes any kind of narrative sense, logical sense. It goes so careening off the rails for zero
For 1 minute.
But it's so weird that like the last minute of a film that you're totally enjoying is just like all of a sudden like slaps you across the face and is like, what'd you think
wake
of that?
Up. They're like, wake
like,
up.
Whoa. You're like why did you do that? As a kid, it did make you feel very like surreal because I texted you last night. I'm like, to introduce magical realism in the last 30 seconds of a film is fucking crazy.
It's crazy.
That's a crazy choice.
It would have been
choice.
More normal, like if they just were all waving to the camera, like,
and there's like drive off,
like break the fourth wall and just wave to the camera.
Just turn. Sandy turns around and waves. Sandy didn't need to fly into the
Where
sky.
Where are they going?
Where were they going? Why was the car there? Why did they create a runway for the car?
The eternal abyss.
My God, have fun exploring the infinite abyss.
Infinite.
All right. Would you like to go into some of the questions?
Oh my God. Yeah. We got to really reel this in. This is
I'll do it fast.
So it's been 2 hours.
I know. Okay. So I've posted some of these on Instagram, but Silly Frizzlin says Crater Face was so scathing. That was his real face. That was fucking fucked up. Clay Town says, how the heck did they have neon pink hair dye in the 50s? A fantastic question. Use me like I'm dumb. I think that's what it says. She said, relatable as a 34-year-old teen myself. Titillate and Ocelot says, my mom went to college with Didi Khan. We won't get into it, but I did go to high school with Patty Simcox's daughter. So anyway. Okay, Frederica Jamie says, have you heard the theory that the whole movie is Sandy's dying fever dream?
Okay.
Danny pulled her out. Okay, so it says in Summer Lovin', Danny says she nearly drowned. And the theory goes, Danny pulled her out of the water, but she was dying and she basically dies on the beach. And her dying dream is that she falls in love with Danny. It honestly explains a lot.
Explains a major lot.
Hallow Malro says, is a hickey from Kinnicky like a Hallmark? Rizzo says the line where she goes, I have so many spots, I look like a leper. When I was little, I thought she
leopard.
Said a leopard, but it's leper. I had the captions on. She says leper. Oh, I thought it was
your
leopard.
Captions also said
TJ Maxx was trashy rags.
Yeah.
Ashton with an E has a lot to say. First, they said, I watched this all the time with my brother. We had the karaoke CD and knew all the words. Work. And then two, made my uncle very uncomfortable at Christmas one year singing Sandra Dee. Valid. Three, my brother sang Grease Lightning. God, I love this movie. R.I.P. Olivia. So sweet. Someone else, Amy Doodle, said, I'm glad I'm not the one watching this movie, but I will listen to the pod. Girl, I'm so sorry. Buckle the fuck up. Ryan Folk is a teacher, and he said, Grease is actually awful. I had to direct that fucker 14 years ago at a high school I taught at. I swear I have PTSD because of that terrible piece of shit. Happy podcasting. Oh, MJ Mags, at 8 years old, I asked my parents what a virgin pin is. Still have no idea what the fuck it is. So Frenchie asked for a virgin pin to do.
Ask for one. She says, I need a pin. And she says, here, you can use my virgin pin. Marty says, you can use my virgin pin. And then Rizzo says, at least it's good for something.
What is a virgin pin?
I think it was something you wore to show people that you were a virgin, like a virginity ring.
I'm
like
looking this up. What is a or is it just an unused pin? What is a virgin pin? The story was that a circle pin was given by a guy to a girl in the 60s to show that they were dating. It was also a symbol of one's state of virginity. The pin was worn on the left side, which meant you hadn't done it yet. Afterwards, you would switch the pin to the right side. They're like those fuck bracelets we used to wear. Let's see. Rachezy is really speaking my truth. Why am I sexually attracted to Crater Face in like an intense way? Because he was fucking hot. Yeah, that guy will munch you until the cows come home. Okay. Hey, Judette, after my own heart says, can you all do Grease 2 too? It gets so much hate. I want to know what you guys think. It's one of my all-time favorite films.
We're going to need to put a wide berth in between.
That's okay. Ellerk had said, the way we believe these 50-year-olds were teenagers, the film taught me smoking is cool. Fuck yeah, it is. Jay De La Rosa says, Kanicki over Danny. What do we think? We agree.
I think I'd rather, like, I don't know. I think Kanicki has a really good heart on the inside. He's just a victim of the patriarchy.
I agree. Bitsy said, the sleepover. My God, when they spray that paper, like, what the fuck? I want to smell that.
I already know what it smells like.
It's like rosy and very floral. Yes. Yeah. MST Marie says, Cha-Cha was the best dancer at St. Bernadette's and also 46 years old. MST Marie also has an amazing point. Sandy showing up in America with the only explanation, there was a change of plans.
No, honestly, that's so dark.
It's like, what happened?
He's like, why aren't you? I thought you were leaving. And she's like, change of plans. My parents died and now I'm here. Like, what happened?
Oh my God, Dow Double. This is like honestly the quote of my life. Make him think he stands a chance, then refuse to see it through. There are worse things I could do. The short port speaks for all of us when they say, I will always want a double polar burger. Me too. Laura Durr 89 says, Stockard looks older in Greece than she does on the West Wing. Truly wild. Ooh, Fooby Dooby, the dry humping and black tights. Ooh, little bisexual me had no idea what hit her. Lexi Brown says, in the Broadway version, the T-Birds were called the Burger Palace Boys. That sounds like a good time gang. Oh, God, Zach's just showing me his armpit.
No, I'm showing you this hole.
Yeah, I see it.
Oh.
Anna Nicole Sith, best name, says, great lesson that sometimes you got to tart up in the end.
Sometimes if you want to get a lay, you just got to be a little slutty, and that's for men and women.
Dyke Yoakum wants a full analysis of the Grease Lightning lyrics. I'm gonna pull them up really fast. This will be the last thing we do.
You're burning up the 409.
Grease Lightning. We'll keep talking. Go Grease Lightning. Okay, so it's high dramatic. It's systematic. Okay, a fuel injection cutoff and chrome-plated rods. Oh, yeah, I'll get the money. I'll kill to get the money. With a 4-speed on the floor, they'll be waiting on the door. You know that it ain't shit. We'll be getting lots of tit. Grease Lightning.
The vet gets them wet.
You are supreme. The chicks will cream for Grease Lightning. And then the last note I'll read is Lauren Lechter says, I love that they are all 30-somethings playing teens. Very Chad Michael Murray coded. Yeah.
Except he was probably at least in his 20s.
He wasn't in his late 60s playing a 15-year-old sophomore.
It really is wild to be like, let's just have these people be teens.
There was like no reason not to cast like some actual.
John Travolta was the youngest one, and he was 24.
And if he's the pull and the draw of the movie, they must have wanted Travolta, and they were like, well, he looks kind of older, so we can't cast like much younger kids. So they had to cast
but they could have ranged between like 18 and 20 and like 30.
I understand. I'm just saying, it was that the choice, because they wanted Travolta and then they had to cast around Travolta.
Maybe you're right, but he's younger than all of them by years.
There were other, I can't remember. I was reading something about like who the other almost casting choices were for Grease. It was like something really crazy. I'm just going to look up Grease facts really quickly and then we'll go after 4 hours. Sorry. we literally this is the longest. Originally, they wanted Marie Osmond to play Sandy.
Okay, well, I'm happy that that didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh my God. Guess where Hit Me Baby One More Time was filmed? Rydell High.
Oh, wow.
All right. Jeff Conway was undoubtedly a fan of method acting. The famous hickeys left on actor Stockard Channing were not the responsibility of the makeup department. Conway wanted the hickeys to appear realistic and took it upon himself to apply them directly onto Stockard Channing's
That's
neck.
That's not method acting. That's rape.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she like let
That's
him.
Sexual harassment. It's not method acting.
All right. So that's kind of like all we've got here. I mean, it's one of the best movies of all time. So
that's like, what's his name in Cape Fear being like, I'm a method actor, so I actually have to fuck you.
When they like chained Ileana Douglas to a street. Oh my God. So Grease was the most profitable musical of all time until Mamma Mia knocked it out of first place in 2008.
All right. You can find us at Mummy Dearest Podcast on Instagram, and you can find me at Zach Mellon on Instagram, and you can find Sloan at I Am Sloan Steele on Instagram, and Oh My Erotica, even though that's like it's like a dead space.
Nothing really happens over there.
So thank you so much. Don't forget to check out our Patreon. We have one with Hannah Brown. Love you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest Podcast. See you next time. And remember, don't read from the Book of the Dead.
Guys, see that blue chicken registration? Oh, she sure beats the bon-dons around here.
I mean, her jugs were bigger than Annette's?
Nobody's jugs are bigger than Annette's.
Right.